Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Hey, there you go. On the line we have Dr. Colman Nochter, child and adolescent psychotherapist. How are you doing, Colman?
Good, thanks, Ray. How are you?
Good. I was just talking to Lee before he left and I forgot to ask him for advice for people who want to come out on air, but he said that his advice would be when you were ready. Do you deal with teenagers in your work who are grappling with their sexuality?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very regular occurrence for young people who might be struggling with, you know, in terms of they have a knowledge themselves, but it's probably finding an avenue to communicate that. That's oftentimes the challenge. And I think he's right. I mean, there is a degree of readiness that you need for that. But and I just heard the end of your conversation there. I mean, we have come a long way in terms of as a nation, but there's still that kind of disgruntled minority that creates difficulty for young people. So I think it's still a challenge. There's no doubt it takes a great deal of bravery, and hopefully we get to a time where you don't have to come out at all.
Yes.
But I mean, we're making strides for sure, and absolutely we've become so progressive in that way. But that doesn't mean it's not still a challenge for lots of young people. And again, with families, and I heard him talking about grannies and granddads and extended family and things like that, it you know, there'll always be some who will be very accepting of it, and then there might be others who are less accepting and challenge it a bit. But again, he was very, I heard his response to his parents were really good, and how his mum sent his dad down to his granny. I love that bit. But it's a lot better than it was, but it can still be a lot better than it is, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does make complete sense. Now, these came into Red RT for you. My 8-year-old keeps asking me about Christmas. He's really fretting about it. My parents live down the country and I honestly don't know if we will get to see them this year. So I don't know what to say to him anytime he asks. Could your expert give any advice on how I can manage his expectations, please?
Yeah, this is a difficult one. And again, we always talk about the uncertainty of this time. And again, we can't make promises at the moment because we don't know what Christmas is going to look like. But I'm hearing this so much, and I don't know if it's because there's a certain ad on TV that's kind of pulling at people's heartstrings around this
super
bit.
Super value ad,
Yeah, but it's kind of clued into a kind of a national mood of anxiety a little bit about that, or sadness about it. And, you know, the idea that all you can say is that we're going to do our best to make it happen, and that the child knows that it won't be for anyone else's kind of lack of effort, that if it doesn't happen, it'll be because it can't happen, you know, in that sense. And just reassure them that everyone is trying their best. And, you know, this is why we're doing all the restrictions and things now, is to make sure that we can have a Christmas, and that, you know, that everyone's doing their part and make a collective bit. But you can't guarantee that you will see granddad at Christmas. But do you know what I'm struck by, Ray, is, you know, a lot of the teenagers and disgruntled teenagers, you're asking them a lot about, you know, how you put out by COVID, and you'd expect them to say, oh, I don't have my nights out, my parties. There's a lot of them saying, I just can't hug my granddad. And there's a kind of a, you know, a real sense of that. And from grandparents themselves, I mean, that's really struggle. I mean, I was talking to somebody recently and they were kind of saying, like, the quality of life when you can't contact your children. And look, someone said, you know, I prefer to live for 6 months than survive for 12. Do you know what I mean? From the point of view of that piece. But look, it's really hard.
I think the important thing is, and I say it over and over again, it will pass. And we're getting closer to that time when it will have passed.
Yes.
And it is just one Christmas. And you could say to your children, what I would be saying is, it's just a day. And we can do all that in June or whenever it is that, you know, the whole thing is solved, you know.
And of course, absolutely, you're right. But I think there's something about Christmas, Ray, that it's ritualistic. So each time it comes around, it's more or less the same as it was before. And what it does is it amplifies loss. You know, if there's somebody missing at the table, when they're missing from the ritual, it just feels different. And I think, you know, because people have had a tough 2020, maybe Christmas is that, it does mean a little bit more this year. But you're absolutely right. There's green shoots, or there's hope, and there's glimmers of hope around vaccines, and we need to focus on that and try and hold tight. And we'll get through it. We always will, and we'll get through it together. But it's about just reassuring children that you're going to do everything they can, or you can, to make sure it's as good a Christmas as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Coleman, I found cigarettes in my 13-year-old daughter's school bag. I thought I smelled smoke from her coat a couple of weeks ago, but said nothing. I've always tried to put her off smoking. We are not a smoking house at all. How do I confront her about it? I need her to stop if she has started smoking.
Yeah, well, you do confront her about it, absolutely. I mean, I think from the point of view of, again, it's a calm and measured approach where you're trying to kind of sit down and chat to her about, you know, and I, you know, the lung cancer health stuff doesn't tend to hit home with children, you know, so it's more about the cost and, you know, how much money you're going to spend over your lifetime with this stuff. But, you know, understanding kind of peer pressure and all that, but you do have to be firm on this. This is, it's not about giving her what she wants at the moment. It's about giving her what she needs. And, you know, I'd be just very clear that this is a non-runner and she needs to stop straight away. I mean, she's 13 years of age, so yeah.
So if the lung cancer message doesn't, you know, ring home, what does?
I mean, I think the idea, like, if we could make, I think we have made strides in smoking, making it uncool. Do you know what I mean? From the point of view of, I think there is an element of that. And, you know, it's disgruntling or it's discommoding to be a smoker now. Yes. And I think that probably has helped as well. But, you know, the
bad
idea
for your
that,
skin.
You know,
bad for your skin.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, anything that's more immediate and gratifying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, as Billy Connolly says, you want to give something up when it's on your own terms rather than when you're told you have to.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
But I just think for adolescents, like, disposable income is a huge issue.
Right,
and these
yeah.
are becoming more and more expensive. And
do you, you don't smoke. Why did you decide not to smoke?
You talking to me?
Yeah, talking to you, yeah.
I do smoke.
But, oh, you do smoke? Right.
Yeah. But I'm a vapor.
You're a vapor.
Now, but.
No, the reason I asked you, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Coleman. The reason I asked you was that, like, when I was 8 or 9, my grandmother died of lung cancer because of smoking. And right. She was like 54 and 5.5 stone. And that hit home with me. And that was it. I was never going to smoke. Now, that isn't going to happen to everybody, but if there was somebody they were close to who has smoked and it affected their health, that might be a way of doing it as well. Maybe, no?
Possibly. I'd be honest and I'll be transparent here, Ray. I've had 3 uncles on my mother's side who all died from smoking-related illnesses and, you know...
Didn't affect you.
coming, you know, from the point of view, I think it's useful. I mean, people are listening a lot to people like myself coming on the airways and saying, you know, this is how you do it. We all have our vices and we all struggle.
Yes.
That's a very, you know, normal part of life. I think there's maybe some reassurance to think that the likes of me coming on air still have our own demons that we're trying to tackle and,
yes.
and manage, and look, it's part of life, and you know, I'm still trying to give up, so I don't think I've failed, but it's just taking longer than hoped.
And you were saying the price as well, like, they're nearly €15 for 20 now, aren't they? So that's a lot of
massive.
Cash.
I mean, I could be living in a very nicer house if I wasn't a smoker. Do you know?
But there you come on to yourself, will you, for God's sake? No, I'm joking. I think that's all we've time for. There is one more, but we don't have time, so I don't want to
can
rush
I just
it.
Say one thing.
Yes.
Ray, one of the best things about the COVID is the return of the den. I think it's absolutely fantastic. We needed something in Irish family life to gather around the telly,
right.
for something other than an announcement from the Taoiseach, and
right.
just it's been brilliant. And thanks very much to
you and
the guys, doing a brilliant job.
Thank you very much. Yeah, just it's a complete distraction, because there's no sense of reality there at all. Coleman, you're very kind. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
All the best.
Thanks, Coleman. Thank you.